Tonight, we're going to go on a journey. We're going to journey with the shepherds. We're going to follow where they went. We're going to see what they saw, hear what they heard, touch what they touched, and understand what they believed. But we have to begin where they began. They began in a field, on a dark, cold night. A slight wind was moving through the trees, rustling the grass as they huddled with their sheep to keep warm. Here in the middle of this field, not a spectacular day, nothing special, all of a sudden an angel appeared. Now, if I were like the shepherds, I would be kind of freaked out. This glowing being all of a sudden singing, and all these other angels around them singing in high chorus, filling the land with sound. It had been an amazing sight. One that's terrifying in the sense that it's just so amazing and a little unsure. What do the angels want? Do they want to strike me down? Is God vengeful to me? Does he have a message? Does he have something he wants me to do? What are the angels saying? There's fear, but there's also joy. Watching the angels as they emanate the very essence of God, that glowing feeling, that warmth that comes from them, this is what the shepherds felt. They're told to go follow a star and to lead them to the newborn king. I don't know about you, but if I went out at night, and I do this often, I see a lot of stars, but very few of them move. They kind of stay there. They don't do much. So this idea of a star that they followed is a little strange to me. And I'm certain it was for them too, because I'm certain they saw lots of stars and none of them moved either. So to follow a star was not only strange to them, but strange to us. Not only that, as they followed this star, they watched it move, and then it moved and it rested. I've never seen a star do this, by the way. If you have, please come talk to me. It moved and either ducked behind the horizon or maybe just stayed there at the manger scene. I would be very perplexed by watching a star just sit there on top of this rock cave. I'd be very afraid to go in, but they were not. They're excited. And as they approached this rock-hewn cave, something very common to them, because they were used to bringing their sheep into these caves to keep warm at night. These caves were strewn throughout all of Israel so that they would have a safe place for their sheep. As they approach, however, they would assume it'd be kind of quiet, because nobody would be in the cave. But it's not. You have all these sheep that are calling to each other, braying back and forth. You have the donkey that Mary and Joseph rode. It's probably making noise. Then you have a child that could be crying. There's lots of noise, which for them would not be surprising because it's where you store sheep. So you'd expect the sound of sheep. But for us, that might be a little weird. We don't think about the noise that comes from this event. As they venture a little bit closer, all of a sudden the smell hits them. When you have a bunch of sheep cradled around in this one cave, they're not going to smell particularly good. They're going to be pooping all over the place. You have the hay that's there. You have the wet wool. You have all these smells that are part of the life of sheep. But also, we have the fire. Because to stay warm, you need a fire. So the smoke is coming out, the smell of the burning wood. All these smells are coming to them as they approach this cave entrance. Venturing even further, we get to the very entrance. What do you expect to see? Well, all they saw was a bunch of sheep, Mary and Joseph, and a baby lying in a manger. The baby isn't glowing. It's not some sort of alien. It's not doing anything special. To them, it still looks like a baby. In all ways, it is a baby. But they don't see it that way. They see something very different. They knew what the angel told them, that this is their king. And even though he doesn't have an entourage of squires and knights and pageants and all these big processions to show his kingliness, they got the message. They recognized that what the angel told them was true, and the response is one we have to pay attention to. They left that manger scene rejoicing. They were joyful. They were praising God as they left. They got the message. Where are we? This is a big question for us. Because the big challenge we have is we're used to seeing the nativity scene as like the statuary over here. It's polished, it's dusted off, it's very quiet, it doesn't move, it's just there. It's pristine, it's perfect. Nothing changes. And that's the way we want our lives to be. We keep thinking we'd be better off if everything was just perfect. Everything was established the way it needed to be, we had no issues, we could just live fully. That's not where we are. And that's not where Jesus is either. And that's why this night is so important. God didn't come to the perfect to be like, great, you're perfect, come with me, this will be awesome. He came to the people that needed him most. He came in the midst of our darkness. He felt and experienced what we experience. He was a baby. He spit up. He pooped his diaper. When he was a toddler, he skinned his knee. When he grew up, he learned things. He made mistakes. He learned what it meant to be human. So that whatever we experience, all the challenges, difficulties of life, he may experience it with us too. We may walk together. This is what we celebrate tonight. We're not here just because we're like, yay, something fun to do. I was bored tonight. Or we think, oh, I just want to feel good about something. I'm going to come here and then leave feeling joyful. No, if we really thought about it for a moment, really reflected on what we're looking for. We're looking for a Savior. We're looking for someone to walk in our darkness, to help us in our challenges, to help us realize there's light. Did you not hear our reading from Isaiah? It was beautiful, proclaiming two messages to us. The first one was, whatever problems there were in the world, God will take care of them. Even if we caused wars, even if things went wrong, even if we didn't think we got it right, it didn't matter. God wants to be there with us too. And the second message, which is much more subtle, is as we stare at the manger scene, how are we going to understand this baby in a manger? Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Prince of Peace, huge exalted titles. What does it mean? How do we understand them? We can't. We have to ponder them. We have to let them mold in our minds, realize the gravity of what they mean. This is what we celebrate. God is with us. He's with us every step of the way. He wants to be in our darkness. He wants us to unveil that to him, give it over to him, that we may realize he's there to bring light in it, bring healing, bring restoration, give us new life. That's what we celebrate tonight. That's the beauty of this night. God came to be with us. He became human like us. He walked along the path with us. He went through all the darkness with us, that there may be nothing that separates us from God. So now it's our challenge, our turn. Are we willing to approach the manger scene? Are we willing to wander through the smells, through the noises, through the chaos of it all, to realize that's part of our lives too? But doing so, we can encounter the true and living God. We can meet him face to face. We can do something that the shepherds taught us, to look into his face and to see those eyes that look back at them. No words were spoken, no gestures made sense. The eyes looked at them, piercing through their soul, telling them, I love you with a love you'll never understand. I'm here for you. I'm here because of my love for you. Come, come to me. I will bring light in your darkness. I will bring you hope. I am your Savior. So let us rejoice, my brothers and sisters, for we have God with us. We have cause for rejoicing because new life has come into our world. Light has shone in our darkness. We are something different. Let us approach the baby Jesus with new faith and vigor. Let him enter into our lives and bring us light and joy.